And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 114.
114.
And this is what we do now. And for our Spanish speaking audience, that was the one part they'll understand. 114 of Black and a Half. I'm one of the hosts, Silas Lindenstein.
And I am another one of the hosts, Samantha Rund.
the other host. Makes That's it sound true. Like we have like eight more coming.
Rundenstein.
Rundenstein. That's yes. I like that.
That's a good one.
Right? I'll tell you this later.
Okay.
Our guest is the fabulous Charisse Nicole Williams, former beauty contestant, former rock star. Current rock star. Let's be honest. Like, you don't just stop being a rock star. You're there. It's a title.
Always and forever.
It's a lifestyle. And nerd friend of ours came on the show today, and it's wonderful. Rundenstein, let me get this. I had a scare last week that my dad started insinuating that the whole thing about the Lindenstein name is that it was created, and I had been told it was created Napoleonic Wars era. It was changed from a Swedish name to like a German hybrid name. Mm. And then my dad this last weekend was like, oh yeah, they changed it because they were Nazi sympathizers. And I'm like, what? And so they didn't want the name traced. And I'm like, are you kidding me? What the hell? I'm like, glad I'm not really blood related, but I'm freaking out over the weekend. I'm like, how am I going to tell my daughter this? And then I started thinking about it. I was like, my grandpa was in World War II.
What side? No, I'm just kidding. No.
But I was like, wait. He couldn't have. When he got the name, he was 10. They couldn't have been Nazis. There weren't Nazis yet. And so then I questioned my dad again on it. And he's like, well, there were Nazis. They were just weren't a big group. They were like little Nazis. I was like, yeah, but when you say that they were Nazi sympathy, there's a big difference between Nazis.
I just thought of a horrible remake of The Little Rascals.
Little Nazis? Like
little Nazis being like baby witches or something. Like,
So bad.
Like, he's like, well, I'm not sure. You know, I just thought, I'm like, well, okay, let's just not throw around Nazi sympathizer as a phrase.
Yeah.
I'm already freaking out because I went to my grandma's genealogy and realized that we had her family was in Virginia when it was founded. Right? And the second I see like, oh, look, we're from Virginia in the, oh, like when it started, you know, with all the slave. Oh, no, no. Do not tell me one grandpa owned the other. I cannot handle this.
You can't tell me this information right now because I'm in a mood where I will laugh at almost anything. And there's a clip of this. I'm going to look like a horrible person, but I do. Okay. But the other thing though was when you said like, oh, they made up the name. They made up the last name. Whose last name was not made up?
Well,
like at some point, everybody's last. Yeah, I know.
But it's like
you were going
the
for.
The name was Lindstedt. And then they said, well, it's Lindenstein now. I don't know. Why would you German it up if you're trying to hide? Yeah. That's another reason. Dad freaked me out.
If any of the traditionally black/white names come into fruition, it's either Williams, which is mine, Jackson, black, brown. Can you think of any others?
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
Those are the plantation
owners. Yeah. Washington.
Washington.
Yeah, he had a lot. There was a lot of them. Mm. A lot of Jeffersons.
Jefferson.
And when you said, that's exactly where my mind went. Yeah, oh, wait, let me name the characters.
On this trend, we got Jefferson, Washington, Black, Brown, Williams.
Not Hamilton.
Hamilton.
There's no Hamilton slaves.
Must be nice.
Anyway, Samantha Rundenstein and myself, we have, this is a wonderful episode. Fun time learning about Charisse's origin story. We talk about the new potential VP Harris. We talk about the Bel Air, the new remake of the Fresh Prince that should be coming out. We a lot of nostalgia. But we want to thank you, first of all, for listening. Thank you for sharing this episode with all of your friends. Thank you for going to Apple Podcast and giving us a 5-star review and leaving some good comments. We thank you in advance for that.
I got so excited. But if you have a favorite line or catchphrase that we use, and we have some real good ones in here, or if you want to make fun of me for getting some things wrong, can you add it to the notes? Because it's so fun to see what your thoughts are.
Yeah. Words!
Words, words, words.
And then a big shout out to our supporters, our Patreon supporters, to founding supporters, Stefan Ward. Thank you. Tara Widener, new member, Keith Nagel. That's how I'm pronouncing it. You know, hey, who knows? If you want to become a Patreon member, Patreon memberships, because of the last episode, and we were talking about, they start at just $1. $1 a month, you can help support this show and make it all possible. And it's a wonderful thing to do. You can join the league. You become a member of the League of Extraordinary Podcasts, League of Extraordinary Listeners. So join the league starting at $1. Go to patreon.com/black and a half.
That's an awesome resume builder too. Like,
yeah, member of the League of Extraordinary
Profile. You're not just a good listener. You're an extraordinary listener. Extraordinary. Yeah.
So join the league.
Women love that.
Women love that.
Right. That's actually true. Women do. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And today's episode is also brought to you by Silas Gets Real. If you are in the Seattle, Washington area looking to buy or sell a home, go to Silas Lindenstein at Skyline Properties at silasgetsreal.com and send a message, and we'll get that over to Silas Lindenstein, whomever that may be. And it's also brought to you by
Beyond Technique Coaching. So if you are looking for a coach to help you bring more of your whole self into your life and work, I can help with voice, body, and mind from Performance Principles. Please email me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com. And I actually started my podcast about that. I have on some amazing guests. The first one is out from Sunday, and another one is coming out this Sunday. So you'd follow that and let me know your thoughts.
And we'll put a link to that in the show notes on blackandahalf.com. Check out this episode, and we'll have the show notes there with a link to our new podcast. And it's wonderful. And thank you. Thank you so much for expanding your voice out there, Samantha. Let me be the first one.
Thank you.
The great pod.
The quietest. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah.
So check that out after you listen to this episode that we got going on here. Black and a Half, number 114. Charisse Nicole Williams.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by, stand by, stand by, stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us.
It's important to get comfortable.
It is.
I am not comfortable now.
Yeah, you sound like, do you have a little bit of a cold?
Do I? Maybe.
Yeah. Is that allergies? I hope not. No, let's call it allergies.
We get doctor so we can diagnose.
I don't have COVID. I know this.
Okay. As long as that's a thing.
I'm not like, I can't 100% say that. It's like a 98% because Gretchen got tested last week.
And she's good?
And she's negative. So okay. I figure if she doesn't have it, she's my canary. Right? Well, I'll know. She's the first one that will know.
I know. It's just, that's a...
What? Is that...
Didn't they used to put like canaries into like the mines, and if the canary died, then they knew the oxygen, there wasn't enough and they would die?
I'm not good at analogies that don't involve death.
Yeah.
No, but actually, I actually feel better than I have in a long time. I got to make clear, remind people that this is episode 114, because they're really like, wait, didn't he already talk about this? Yes, twice in 7 years, I've talked about the Whole 30 diet because I started doing a modified version of it again. Because a couple of my friends and listeners here started doing the Whole 30.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know the Whole 30? Heard of it?
I know that it's a diet and that you did it before. That's about what okay. I know. And you try to eat like not processed food, right?
Something basically, like that. You basically just, you can eat veggies, meat, and fruit. That's it.
I'm a vegetarian, so I do eat meat sometimes, but I plan to not eat meat very often. So Whole 30 wouldn't work for me, but
yeah, it would be hard because you're not supposed to do soy. I even
like did keto a couple months ago, and it made me so sick because I was only eating like beef and cheese.
Beef?
Yeah.
As a vegetarian, I can't imagine that.
It was really tough for me. I'm just like, okay, I guess I'll just eat protein. I guess that means eating meat, but it was super difficult for me. I got sick.
Do you know you're not supposed to eat
meat? Yeah, like, were you eating beef every day?
I was staying with my friend who's on keto, and I stayed in his house while he went to work, and all he had was beef burger patties and cheddar cheese. So like I was just making that every day, and it made me sick.
Wait,
I definitely was late, but not in the good way.
Had you not eaten beef in a long time?
Yeah.
Do you know that you're not supposed to do that with beef?
I know that now.
Okay.
Especially like
you have to build that up with little bits to get the enzymes back. You gotta
take like those stepping stones.
Yeah,
into
you
it.
Can't just go like quarter pounder. Boom. No.
Yeah, but I guess if you don't have anything to eat, you're probably going to eat that instead of some air. So,
right. Like I had to eat something, so at least I was putting food in my body.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I will say I think everybody is probably gluten intolerant to a degree, because everybody always has the same. They always say like, I'm so tired after or whatever. After pastas and stuff. I know it's some sugar, but I feel like they're like cats. Like everybody's a little allergic to cats. Nobody's I'm not.
And I'm a cat lady, so.
Yeah. Well, even people like you, you can get used to a cat though and live with it. Like
that's the only reason why I'm not as allergic to cats anymore is because I got a cat for myself.
That's nice. What kind of cat?
I think he's a Bengal. He's a barn cat.
That's a tiger, isn't it?
Like, they have like the spots and like the M stripes on their forehead.
Are they a little bigger?
No, they're actually small. Very small. Like skinny cats.
Well, that's a Bengal tiger. Whoa. That scared me.
At first I thought it was like a prop. And
I
then
thought
I was,
you were about to die. I thought like the creature's about to kill her.
I was being attacked by a cat. So this is Oli.
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 Oli from Olympia, Washington. He is the cutest and also the biggest pain in my ass.
Yeah. They can be like that.
And he has a little hammock next to my desk, so he sits there while I'm sitting here.
So adorable.
So cute.
I try to cover my dog's ears whenever I'm looking at cats.
Not
his eyes, but his ears, because I'm like, oh, I want one. Oh, it's so cute. Oh, I wish I had one. And then I'm like, oh, don't listen to me, Milo. You're great too.
Don't piss your dog off.
Don't mind mommy.
I'm I'm definitely a dog person, and the only reason I have cats is because I can't have dogs right now. So I like pour into my cats, but I treat them like they're dogs.
Why can't you have, is your housing?
It's because of housing. Like, I've been renting and I've moved a lot in the last few years. So it's super difficult to try to find a place that'll let you have a dog.
Oh yeah.
People let you have a cat, but they won't let you have a dog.
It's amazing. Yeah. For what's such a, this city is so crazy for dogs. Like, oh, they true. Let their dogs in everywhere here. They want to. And then they're like, oh, but you have one? No.
Yeah. Not. Like,
I'm not going to let you have one.
I was on like meetup groups where you can like take your dog with you to the bar and stuff. And I guess you're only allowed to have a dog if you're like a homeowner or something. Cause if you're a renter, a dog, you've committed multiple crimes.
Yeah. It's really hard. It's actually a big reason why people end up buying. So I'm like, boy, that is an expensive dog. bought a house for it.
Right.
Gosh.
Right.
So did you get into our first topic here? Did you folks get a chance to see the trailer for the fan trailer for the Fresh Prince, the reboot?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was intense. Like, I wasn't really sure what Fresh Prince being a drama actually was. And then watching him just like, ooh, that hits close to home sometimes.
Yeah, it's like, it seems to really work. So those of you that don't know, there was a viral video that went out last year called Bel Air. It's a reboot of The Fresh Prince of Bel Air, but like, it was just a trailer that he made. This guy named Morgan Cooper, and they made it like a drama, which, you know, there's always a thin line between drama and comedy anyway. It's just your kind of take on it. And if you like go like, yeah, I guess he was kicked out because he was getting into gang trouble. And so they kicked him out, sent him to his auntie and uncle in Bel Air. But what if this was a drama? So he did it. And here's the crazy thing. Now, Will Smith has signed on to executive produce this reboot. Like, they're going to make it a reality, and they are now shopping it to like HBO Max, Peacock, Netflix, all these different places. So this trailer is now going to be a life-changing thing for this guy, this Morgan Cooper. I don't even know who he was before this. I forgot to look up to see if he had actually done anything.
Was he not still Morgan Cooper?
Well,
it's like his secret identity. Once he got into witness protection program, that's where he really switched up his game. He got behind the camera, started doing parodies.
Children. I don't know like new Hollywood people.
I don't think anybody knows new Hollywood people. That's why they're new.
Well, my daughter does. She knows. The new folks coming in. But yeah, so I mean, were you fans? Either of you fans of the original
Fresh Prince?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So
I've definitely been a fan. This new release has kind of like come out as a dramedy, but in my past like experience, I've been described as one of the characters from the original Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So like,
if I guess, am I gonna get in trouble?
Yeah, right. We're both gonna guess. We're gonna get it. Okay, here we go. One, two, three.
Carlton.
Uncle Phil. I was gonna say Carlton. No, we were both gonna say Whitney.
I mean, right. I could be a Carlton. I mean,
wait, yes. Were you the one? Did they think of you as the one female in the show?
There was more than one.
I was like the angry
cousin or whatever, right?
What?
There was, remember her name, right?
Not Trudy. What was her name?
No, that's the wrong black show.
Yeah. What?
I thought it was Ashley.
Ashley?
Is that what it
was? I could look it up. You guys keep the podcast going.
I wore the blazers with the shoulder pads and was like better than everybody else.
Yeah. Not Whitney.
Yeah, Whitney.
Is it Whitney?
Yeah, Whitney's the one that I that we were gonna guess, right?
I thought Whitney was from Different World.
I have to Google this now.
No, Whitney. She's the one. She's the one who was like always shopping and really shallow.
I mean, like, yeah. one of my favorite shows. I've seen it's every episode, me, but I can't remember any of the characters' names.
It's not me, but if you were to first like find me, you're probably going to call me that.
Well, I feel like a lot of people would just go to that place too if you're like light skinned and maybe very well put together. I feel like I probably got a. I think maybe people would call me either Carlton or no, my family would. They'd be like, "Heck, little Carlton." But the Whitney thing,
Let's Hillary.
Yes, Hillary.
Someone's ringing.
I saw it I saw it right when you said that. You guys, this is so embarrassing. I was like, Whitney. It's definitely Whitney. Who the heck is Whitney?
Whitney's from Different World. Same kind of character.
Okay. But I was right about Ashley.
You were right about Ashley.
And definitely right about Uncle Finn. That's the third remake.
Uncle. I mean, Under the Sea. Also a Carlton, but that's up to anybody else's discretion.
Though I'm actually surprised. I didn't realize that the first Aunt Viv actually made it three full seasons.
Yeah.
I thought I just remember her out of it, so I thought she was had less time.
Well, didn't she get like switched out with a different Aunt Viv? Like,
yeah, because they didn't get along. She didn't get along with the star. What do you think's gonna happen? Like when
get along with the star, you get yeeted out of the show.
Yeah, don't you like find a way? I gotta get along with this kid. Yeah, he's a little let's call the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. It's not like he's gonna go anywhere. You know? I don't know.
Oh, this is humiliating.
What?
I'm still just mad that I messed up those names.
It's okay.
Okay, thanks. Right. I got one of them right.
Yeah. Okay. And then, of course, the big news today. Fred, hot off the presses. Kamala.
I'm not going to attempt it with my track record right
Kamala
now.
Kamala Harris picked as VP. Kamala? VP. Huh?
Is it Kamala?
Kamala. Yeah. No. Kamala.
Kamala.
Ms. Harris.
It's not because here's the thing. I keep saying it wrong because of Kamala the Giant from WWE. That was Kamala. It's wrong. It's Kamala.
Kamala. Okay.
Kamala Harris. So how's your reaction to that? What's your reaction? Samantha? Excited?
I mean, yeah, I was excited. I'm happy to see a woman of color as the VP. And then I thought, because, you know, I don't follow politics or in the news that much. Like, yeah. Lately, it's been the most I've followed it, right? So I thought, well, let me just try to do a little bit of research and not we know where I'm voting. That was even like, I already had to have the vote that I was going to have even before this happened. Now it's just like sweetens the deal for me, you know?
Yeah. Okay. And Charisse.
I mean, I can admit that I'm always late to the party when it comes to politics, but I definitely know where like my stance and mindset is. And for her being a POC in politics, I automatically am more inclined to support and follow whatever she's doing. But also, I can't just blindly go into supporting a candidate just because of their race or their background. Mm-hmm. So it's upon me to make sure that I can learn as much as I can about her views and about like what she is pushing forward with her policies in order for me to like completely be behind anything that she's supporting.
Yeah.
And with that, like it is our own responsibility to be able to make sure that we can be as educated as possible and not just blindly follow a candidate just because they are a POC.
I agree with you on that for sure. Because I've also been surprised by hearing, I know some of us talked about like being surprised, like who supports certain people. Like, and if it's a person of color, I've been even more surprised. I admit there is an MMA fighter that I was recently rooting for. Or what? UFC fighter. There
president?
Was a sorry. That I was rooting for in their fight. But before the fight, I saw what his political like affiliation was. Oh. And I was like, no, now I want the other guy. How could he? You should know better. Normally I don't get like that, but obviously this is a very different time.
Yeah. Well,
even so I'm half Black and I'm half Hispanic, and me and my Black cousins, we have like a group chat, and I like went on there and just like, hey guys, can you tell me more about Kamala Harris? I need to know because I'm going on a podcast later and I want to make sure that I have like a good mindset about it. And so they were the ones that like kind of introduced me to the fact that like, just because she's a POC, it might not be like the best way to think about things. And like, I think that the best way for me to find out about what's going on is to talk to other people of color, even especially my family, to know why things are good and why things can be bad.
Okay. No, that's fair. That's fair. Look, I did address to Facebook about to ask if there was anything specific we should hit on with her. Someone asked about her name.
What about Fresh Prince character?
I put two things on there. Now, I'll admit, someone asked about her villainous past. Look, she was a DA. She was a DA. She was a good DA. She pushed through a lot of stuff. You know, it's hard. Like, I do feel, and sometimes I'm like, this is a double standard here coming in. So suddenly we're going to be like, the people are tearing apart her record. It's like I feel like sometimes people forget that DAs are hired and they're supposed to, one, they're supposed to follow the law and they're supposed to do their job. And her job was to prosecute people. That's basically what it was. And there seemed to be some that they were a little like, why aren't you laying off of this? But, you know, she had a major initiative to stop child trafficking, predators on children. She really put in force on that. She's apparently, like, some people consider the most progressive attorney general California ever had. Which I think it's like, well, it's California, so of course, like, they might not think it was progressive enough, right? As opposed to, like, if she was in Kansas, they would have thrown her out because she was too hardcore liberal. The way I've been a supporter from her since the beginning. I liked her a lot. And part of it is I don't mind somebody. We have an absolute crook in office right now.
A crook, right? I tell you, like, a crook.
Absolutely corrupt. And I do feel like when you it's like the balancing of the force. You need to put in somebody that's going to try to follow it next. You know, they're going to try to put in place and create some systems, because they're going to have a lot of amendments that need to be done to fix things, to make sure that people can't have this level of open corruption in the higher office. And so that's what I like about her, is I feel like she'll go in there and she'll balance it out. And I love it that I get yelled at that Black people are not monoliths when I suggest Black people like Biden. But then everyone's like, Harris is a cop. How can you support her? Like, you know, it's okay for Black people to like law enforcement. They're allowed. They can be cops.
They totally are, and it's not one or the other.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there's just like, you have to like choose sides when really, like, I literally had to call 911 yesterday and I don't regret it.
Yeah, I know.
But like, I do know that there are plenty of people that are public servants that are here to help the people. And sometimes they are bad and they do a lot of damage, but I'm not going to completely not want law enforcement to be of aid to the public.
Yeah. And she did do a lot of good stuff. She did. There was a bunch of reforms that she did. And that's what I do like about her. And I love her Senate record.
I saw a friend posted like that she did the first gay marriage in California, like the day it became legal.
Nice.
I hope that's true, because I was like, that's pretty cool.
I remember someone criticized her because she made she said something about how in college she had smoked pot or something. And people like, you put people in jail for smoking pot. I'm like, well, that was her job. She had to. She couldn't, like,
as long as you don't get caught.
By the way, it's not saying like, it's not like she was like grabbing pounds of pot off the trailers and throwing them in her backyard. She's saying in college, when a lot of people did, you know, they experiment, doesn't mean you don't have to be pure to later on go on and enforce laws. She's actually also owned up to a lot of stuff. Like she's done interviews right when she started running. She went on and was like, yeah, that was too aggressive, or no, that wasn't the intent of this. You know, I needed to, you know, they do make some mistakes, but it didn't, it seemed like she's not afraid of addressing everything she did and explaining why and what the reasoning was. And I'm also okay if somebody was like, you know, I thought it was a good thing then, but you know what? I was wrong. I'm fine.
Right. Because that never happens to us.
Right.
We're always right all the time. It was definitely Whitney. Oh my God. Just can't. In case if you forgot, I just wanted to remind you guys.
It's Whitney. She needs to remember.
Oh, man.
What else did they ask? How do you answer? So I like her. I think her Senate record's on point. Like she's been pretty progressive in her votes for, you know, hasn't been pro Medicare for all, I think, but I think that is also political. Like, as far as I'm actually not, I haven't been, I am for technically Medicare for all, but just the whole, they call it something different. Like, let everyone have health care. I'm for that. Like, I don't know. We get all bent. People are bent up. They don't like Medicare for all. They want the Affordable Health Care Act and to expand it to more people. I don't want that. I want what I called it, Medicare for all. Like, well, I don't care. I just care about the end result. And I just don't think it can happen in this country in one swoop, which is why I didn't think Bernie would be successful at all. I think it's going to be incremental changes.
The thing about that is people only opposed it because it was called Obamacare. But at the end of the day, we all still just want Medicare for all. And if we don't call it Obamacare, everybody's going to agree that everybody should be able to have health care.
Yeah.
It's awful, but I don't think that's the case.
What?
I'm just saying there are definitely going to be some Americans that do not want everybody to have health care. I'm just saying I agree with you in the sense that this is how it should be, and that's what I hope. But I know that there's some
out of principle that people say, no, not everyone should get it. Like you should have.
Well, otherwise wouldn't it have happened already. There's some people that don't see other Americans as human. They don't care and they don't understand. It doesn't affect them and they don't understand like, oh, everybody should have access to what I have access. They think like, well, I deserve better access because I'm better. You know, I'm saying yes.
Like, it's probably
true. I want everybody to have health care.
I guess, but not everyone agrees that everyone should eat either.
Exactly. You know,
eat as long as I don't have to pay for it. Yes, everybody should eat as long as there's not a cent out of my pocket potentially.
Hey, listen, I'm just, you know, is it going to be one of those tap out days? I read something the other day where somebody was so mad that they saw somebody buying steak on food stamps. They were so mad. And it was like, are you saying they shouldn't eat? They're like, no, they shouldn't eat better than me. I work. And it's like, well, you don't know that they don't work.
Right.
So I'm just.
They could be a soldier.
I completely agree with you. I used to manage a grocery store, and I've worked at grocery stores for over 10 years. And when I was like 18, like a cashier at a grocery store, I'm just like, how come you can buy steak and lobster on your EBT card, but I'm like buying like dollar store food? I can't even afford to shop at my own store. But of course, I've grown from that a lot, and realizing that like everybody should be able to eat, everybody should be able to have a treat or a cheat day where they can.
Right. Like, I don't think people are going out and having their steak and lobster.
They're
every
not doing
day.
It every day.
Right. Yeah.
So if you not see like something
somebody
that
comes to your line with an EBT card and they're buying steak, that's probably like the one time out of 6 months that they're able to do it. So let's just stop judging other people.
And you don't even know how many portions that is.
Right.
That could be portioned out for like 7 days. Like, for real.
Yeah.
Not even kidding. Like, you can spread it out.
Oh my
like,
goodness. And then what you could do is you could put some cheddar cheese on it and you could have it every day and say that you were going keto. And before you know,
on anything, you're eating good.
It's,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's crazy. Okay. And so for the post of the week, actually, I really loved something Samantha shared earlier.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, you guys. I contributed.
You're a very good contributor. Our correspondent, Samantha, from the field of Facebook.
That's right.
She put up this something from Heather Thompson Day, which is from a tweet at Heather T. Day. She said, she wrote, wait,
pause for dramatic effect.
I'm trying to like, wait, which one is it? Like, which is the first one? Okay, I'm reading the order that I saw. My dad just told me never laugh. They will mistake your nervous laughter as compliance. Instead, pretend you don't get it and watch them explain it to you why you should be laughing. I've used this advice my whole life since. When I was 19, my boss said I should be a phone sex operator, and I laughed. I said, I don't get it. He said, it's a joke. I said, explain it to me. And that's how I learned that once sexual harassers have to explain why their inappropriate jokes are funny, they stop laughing. I really like that. That was it.
Yep, that hits hard.
Do you ever,
right?
Have you ever done that? Made people explain a joke?
Only at every open mic. No. you know, I don't think I have used that yet. Now I know. So that's good. What I have done, yes, there's a laughter, but I've also just totally feigned ignorance. Like, I knew what they were talking about, but I wasn't going to dignify it by acknowledging it. And I'd just be like, I don't get it. But I wouldn't ask them to explain. Yeah. And I totally got it. And I just act like, no idea. That usually did the trick.
Honestly, I can't believe a boss would. I'm thinking about that. Like, that's crazy. Like, you don't think you get in trouble?
Oh, man.
Like, Reese, have you had this?
Yeah.
Have you done this to anybody?
You can hold this back. I have called out somebody for saying something completely offensive. I'm sure they didn't mean to, but anytime I've called somebody out, they're just like, oh, Charisse, stop being a crazy Puerto Rican lady. Anytime, like, I've heard the words crazy Puerto Rican lady as an insult for me talking back to somebody multiple times. So,
that is
if I say, and the thing is, like, I'm Puerto Rican, I'm Black. Sometimes I can't even differentiate the both of them. So I'll be like, hey, I just spent like 6 hours doing my weave. Please don't touch my hair. And they'll be like, oh, but I thought you embraced your Puerto Rican side. I'm just like, just because I embrace my Puerto Rican side does not mean that I'm not Black and I didn't spend 6+ hours sewing hair into my head on cornrows. Like, my arms are tired. Don't make me tired of you. And
that's talent. I just want to just.
It really is.
Like, I've never tried. I don't. I would be. I have the time now for quarantine, I guess. But no, like, seriously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a new project that I want to try with my hair next week. But, like, not only does it take time and talent, it takes, like, a lot of self-worth that I have to really prepare myself for. But just, like, being told that I'm not allowed to feel this way because of this, or I'm not allowed to feel this way because of that. Those are the tribulations of being a half and half, for sure.
We understand the halfy woes.
Yeah.
The halfy woes.
The halfy woes. You heard it here first, guys.
New hashtag.
Right?
The halfy woes.
Happy woes. That's the first time you inspired me. You inspired
me. Really did. Let's make it a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. That's how I segue to things. Ah, oh, God. Okay. Fine.
You explain that.
Just what? Explain that. What is that? No, I'm just, you know what? Every time I read something sexist like that, I think about my daughter.
Yep.
And I think about how, like, I feel like I worry that I've ill-prepared her for the world. Like, she, you know, she's 13 now. Like, mm-hmm. how much can I? It's hard because she's in this little bubble of people that are just like, they like each other. Right. And they're not totally sexist yet. It's starting to come out. Like, at school, the school people, but like, but it's just going to be increasing. And eventually she's going to meet people that aren't from Seattle who are totally sexist, right? And have never been called on.
Sexist people here too.
I know, but I think they're called on it a little bit more. I think it's harder to not get it pointed out.
Probably quieter in Seattle.
Or not applauded as much.
Like, you're a great dad. So what I'm hoping for you is just to worry less. As a non-parent myself, I think, like, you know, just infusing her with self-confidence, and you're a good male role model. And so she has this great self-esteem she's going to intrinsically have from having parents that really love her, and letting her know what behavior is okay and what behavior isn't okay. Because, you know, you can't protect her from everything. All and right. Hopefully she'll never need that protection. But it's just, it's an impossible task, which I know once you become a parent, like, that's always there. That feeling's always there.
Like,
but
I felt like I could give her, like, black boot camp, though. Like, I understand.
What's black boot camp?
Like, just everything. Like, okay, watch this movie. Okay, watch. Here's what you need to know as what's out there, what's going on. But, like, okay. I don't pick up sometimes on the microaggressions toward women until later, or unless I'm reading about it. Like, if I'm reading about it, I'm like, oh, I see what's going on right now. But, like, if I'm in the moment, I've just been around it. You know, I think it's like how we say everyone is, like, or you say, like, well, all white people are, everyone's racist because we're in a you're in an institutionalized racist society. So everyone's racist. So I also say, like, well, everyone's misogynist. Everyone's a misogynist. We all are, even if you're a woman. Like, we've probably been trained that way by society, and we don't even know. So I'm aware. I'm sure I have misogynistic tendencies that I don't catch all the time. I just try to catch it and improve, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think in everything, and in little racisms and whatever. And I call them out, like, you know, for colorism and everything. But I don't know, like, I don't pick up on it fat. Like, I'm not fluent in misogyny enough, right? I
need right. to,
like, I'm still, like, level two.
Fluent in misogyny, like, we're not trying. It's just, like, something that we know.
I know, but I want to know, like, so that I catch it. I feel like if I'm better, the better I am, the more I can point it out to her if she doesn't realize what just happened or.
Right. Why. You don't really know the dangers to, you don't know what dangers to point out because you haven't experienced that. Like, you know what to say about, like, being a person of color because you've experienced that stuff.
Yeah. Well, one, like Gretchen, before we were married, she was followed home by some people, or she was followed in a car, like, miles. And, like, I thought she was exaggerating. I was like, I think there's a misunderstanding, da 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 da. And then when she got to where she was going, it was from Northgate to Linwood. And then I was like, ah, that's not right. No, at this point they should have turned off. And then
that's a pretty long way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they were. I were pretty sure they were actually trying to abduct her at this point.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, what, you know? And then we told other people the story and they're like, that's completely how sex trafficking works. What they did, they found her with saw her with an organ plate, looks young. Oh, somebody who might not be missed right away. Right. She was smart enough not to do everything, but she presumed niceness still a little bit with them. But I think about that because that could have been a disastrous night.
I thought of something. Yeah. I mean, thank goodness she's okay. But I did think of a piece of advice that you could give your daughter if you haven't yet, remind her to trust her spidey sense. Because sometimes women do this thing where, like, maybe they feel a little bit uncomfortable, but the girl that they're with vouches for the other person. So they trust this person. So then they trust that person.
Yes.
And when I was watching like the Jeffrey Epstein videos, And then I was watching the cults and extreme beliefs and stuff. And a lot of the women do the legwork of getting the other women in. So it's like, don't trust somebody just because they're a woman.
Wait, because was the woman, the one woman evil though? She knew what was going on?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, okay. Yes, definitely. Very much so.
If that person's your friend, you mean if she's not a friend, then just don't trust. Like, no, you're bad too.
Women to be told to trust other women. But other women can put you in situations where you are bullied or you're sold in the sex trafficking. Like, you can't trust every woman just because they're a woman. Just like you can't be a black person and trust every black person. You can't be a white person and trust every white person. You can't be a lesbian or LGBTQ and trust a single person of that identity. So,
yeah. So, like, totally. And then, like, Silas, I think, let's say that somebody's name was Jill and her friend was Beth, and Jill knew Beth. Okay. But then Beth introduces them to George, and Jill is like, well, I don't really trust George, but Beth does. So, you know what? I think maybe it's okay if I think that George is a good guy then. So that, like, trust your spidey sense. Just because. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm waiting for the book, but I think I have no idea. Blank. Have you heard of Blank by Malcolm Gladwell?
Is that Struggling with Addiction? That one?
No, it's supposed to be about your first impressions, like how,
ooh,
how
that important sounds they are. Interesting. And,
how you make some quick decisions on people initially, and maybe to trust it sometimes. So I'm going to read it so I can actually speak more articulately about it. I was watching some other stuff about him and the book came up and about it in this podcast. And so, like, I need to read this book.
That's awesome. Amazing. Yeah. The Power of Thinking Without Thinking.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's.
Did you just? Are you ordering now? We should put a link up. Like, we should have an affiliate just for the stuff we buy while we're on the show.
We should.
remember that? Oh, I should buy that. Okay.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. Now I'm still like. Anyway, yes.
Okay. So yeah, that's how I feel. But, you know, speaking of my daughter and I watched a film this last weekend, one of the films I wanted to review. And
do you tell. You know,
so I've got two films for you this week that I caught. One was the 2020 Netflix original movie Work It, a comedy and it says music, but I would say dance. I don't know why it said music. It wasn't like. There was no singing.
Were they like dancing to silence?
No, they were like, okay, I only watched this like an hour ago, but.
You did? You watched it?
I watched the first half. I take movies in sections because my attention span does not go through whole movies. But I myself love anything that has to do with dancing and choreography.
Nice. Okay.
So I was just like, oh, why did I not know about this? And I just like,
well, just drop.
Like dancing with it. Like,
okay, so let me cover real quick. Rated TV 14, 1 hour and 33 minutes comedy, just released, directed by Laura Taruso, written by Allison Peck. Well, that name's familiar. And the log line on it is, when Quinn Ackerman's admission to the college of her dreams depends on her performance at a dance competition, she forms a ragtag group of dancers to take on the best squad in the school. Now she just needs to learn how to dance. Yeah. So she's basically the lighting board operator for this dance team. And she screws up and gets kicked off because she messed up while she was in there. She's like this straight A student, wants to go to Duke University like her dad did. And so she's doing all these extracurricular things that aren't important, not living her own life. And when she gets to her, she gets to the admissions, they're like, they want something different from her. And she kind of says that she's on the dance team there, and she wasn't exactly. And so then she gets the sense that to be different, she needs to be on the dance team. And then she ends up starting her own dance team, and it takes off there. I watched it with my daughter. We laughed a lot. It was a very enjoyable movie. I mean, I am like, I want to say, I don't know if I'm a sucker for dance movies, like, but when they involve like Bring It On, oh, it's one of the best, right?
It's cold in here.
Sucker for dance movies,
huh?
Bring It On. You got like Step Up. You got like Save the Last Dance.
Center stage. Oh, yes. So good.
Be a sucker for dance movies. They have everything.
Let's see. In my box score review that I wrote, I said the story, it's okay. It's an okay story. Plot, basic. It's a little predictable. The acting, okay. Writing, meh. I don't know.
Any of these movies, like, we're really not, like, expecting the writing or the acting.
Of them can do it like Bring It On did.
We just want the music and for them to like break it down whenever the music intro happens.
I said this movie made me feel, it made me want to dance. It made me feel good, happy. My top three things on this film was the dancing was really good. The main characters, Quinn and Jasmine. Quinn is super charming. I liked her a lot. I think she hasn't done a lot. I think she was on some Disney stuff.
Is that the blonde girl with like the eyebrows? That's all.
Yeah. Blonde girl with eyebrows. That's exactly who that is. Quinn Ackerman. She was very familiar, and she's the only one that was like, I bet she can dance. I bet she dances. This doesn't look like it.
I mean, I even think that earlier in the movie when she was like trying to learn how to dance and she was like messing up a lot. She was probably acting that, and she actually can dance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's a really good dancer. and then Jasmine, her best friend, she's really funny. She's a really funny
actor. You know that it was Liza Koschke, or I don't even know if I'm saying her name right.
Yeah.
But she's actually like a YouTube star.
Is she?
Makes YouTube videos. She used to date David Dobrik. Have you ever watched like David Dobrik videos?
No.
Basically, all he does is like get a bunch of money and then like buy all of his friends Teslas. And eventually, sometimes he'll like do like a paintball challenge where he like shoots his friends. Or
wait, is that the dude who got arrested or whose house got raided?
That guy. Oh,
okay.
We don't like that guy.
Okay.
But David Dobrik, he's super funny. Like, I probably am like a bad person for even like liking him, but I just find him hilarious. And anytime I'm like down in the blues and want to laugh, I just turn on like YouTube David Dobrik, and it makes myself feel better. But Liza Koschke, the girl that's in that movie, she was actually dating him like maybe 3 years ago.
Okay.
Did he give her a Tesla?
No. What a fucking jerk.
Okay.
I'm still waiting for my Tesla, David Dobrik.
That's right. Like and share our video, David. Let the Teslas pay for themselves.
Okay. And my final notes about this film. I said this film has many, many flaws, but the dancing is mostly on point and really puts you in a good mood. At the end of the day, this is why we see films, the escapism aspect. This will go on my list of flawed but fun and entertaining movies I will watch because I liked it in spite of every reason I shouldn't. There's some leaps of logic in it I do put under here that are a little like closer to the end, maybe a little rushed, but I'm like, I don't know how they would have got out of it either, honestly.
I like some of your dance wording in it too. Was that on purpose? Like a leap?
Oh, yes.
And then you said it was on point.
Yes. I totally did that on purpose. Completely.
The way that I pirouetted into the third act. A step up change.
Alexa, turn Den on.
Don't say Alexa. She's going to talk to me now.
Okay. It's a war.
Alexa, did
yours?
Stop.
I set yours off? That's so funny.
Oh my gosh.
Do you realize
what if the Alexas start podcasting?
Movies, well, that's why I have headphones on. Movies are going to be killing that name from their nature. Okay. And then the next movie that I did watch was it said 2019, but it's actually a 2020 film. It just kind of came out. It got released March 6th. No, not going to happen. Your movie didn't really happen. It came out March 6th.
So is it out or not? Because I tried to look it up and I was super confused.
Huh? Only?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the movie is only, it came out 2020, March 6th. So clearly it didn't stay in the theaters very long before it had to go. So now it's rated TVMA, which I don't know if it got released, how that happened, but... and also the plot of it isn't necessarily something a lot of people would have wanted to watch right at that moment. After a comet releases a mysterious virus that begins to kill all the women in the world, a young couple hides out in their over-sterilized apartment trying to fight for their lives. Directed by Takashi Dosher and written by him. Stars Frida Pinto, Leslie Odom Jr., Chandler Riggs. Let me pull that review up that I did. Look, everyone who knows me knows I love disaster films. Disaster, post-apocalyptic. So this hit some good things for me right away. I love that it was a mixed couple, black guy and I believe East Indian woman, right over that region area. I love when they have mixed relationships. It's considered a drama romance. The story I thought was compelling. The plot straightforward and unsure at the same time. It's not presented completely linear. So like it's kind of, we're going along and then there's a flashback that kind of helps inform why that just happened or what's about to happen. You'll understand more because of the flashback. So it starts off when they're already kind of in the sterile environment and then it goes back and you start seeing the beginning of how the comet came and how people started getting sick and everything. Acting, it's nuanced, above average. I think the entire cast was great. Writing, above average. This movie, did give me I was a little anxious, I'll admit, watching this. It's a flu. It's a sickness, and that was not as escapism as you like. The best three things.
Yeah, that's more like escapism.
Yeah.
What? I mean, it in escape in inism in, instead of in, out of. I, you know, I just
inism. I like that.
Escape oh, good. Inism. Okay, thank you. That the
escape inism. No, that's a new. That's genre.
The way it sounded in my head. Yeah. You know.
The best three things about this film: the acting, the craftsmanship of the film, and it's very engaging. The worst three things about the film: there are times the husband's actions don't entirely make sense. They're a little out of character, but are kind of done just to kind of push the plot along.
And like, does one day he just like mysteriously wash the dishes?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so, that's super mysterious.
At one point, Eva, the main character, passes. She's supposed to pass off as a guy. She says she's out in the world, passing mm-hmm. off as a guy. And it's not like remotely believable. Like, it is like, no.
How does one attempt to pass off as a guy?
Well, she had her like a wig and a hat on. She binded her chest and she really didn't speak around people. And she put some like grit on her face.
Did she like try to pee standing up, or like how convincing could she have been aside from her appearance and the mannerisms to pass?
The hard thing is she's gorgeous, right? And it's like, as the filmmakers, we're not like she still did. Yeah, she put some grime over her face, but she still did like female, the standard makeup that you do for film, like, and that highlights your femininity. And I'm like, well, don't do that.
Like, men can be gorgeous too.
Okay, watch the film and tell me if she looks like a dude, because she doesn't. Okay. She absolutely doesn't. I'm still, yeah. No. And I don't want to spoil the reason why this is big, but it's. My number three. This is my other three complaint about it. When films are so content in heaviness, I sometimes wish they would just take one moment to find a laugh in an odd moment, because I think it gives it an element of realism. It's a heavy film and could have used some lighter moments.
Maybe that's why she didn't look very convincing.
That was not supposed to be funny. It was not supposed to be funny. But it, you know, like, I do feel like sci-fi, especially if it's sci-fi era, they always get caught up in not making laughs. Even a post-apocalypse. I always think The Walking Dead needs a comedy episode. You know, just like, let's have a moment of humor when it's not like just a humor, you know, like a
wait,
joke.
Wait, don't give away the idea. Well, this is the viral video we can do for the twist of The Walking Dead.
It has to be a twist. Like, even when you're watching like one of those teen dramedies where like all of a sudden they like teleport back to the 1960s and everything's in black and white. Like,
yeah.
Can we just do that?
For what do you mean?
Which teen dramedy was that?
They did it for like Pretty Little Liars and One Tree Hill, where like and then you end up in the past,
and that's the funny
black light.
Is that the funny episode?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you shouldn't have to go through all that just to make like a joke,
right?
Like, how come just in the middle of, you know, West Wing? How come nobody, Jed Bartlett should have said, "Pull my finger," right? Just something. I don't know. It's not all funny. You're holding back something, Samantha. What are you like about to laugh?
Yes, I was. I've just been cracking myself up tonight. So sorry about that, you guys. Laughing at my own jokes, even when they're bad.
I was cracking up earlier. My friend posted, like, what's one movie that you could watch a million times, or you've already watched a million times? And I like sent him a GIF of Mean Girls. And like the whole time after that, he just kept like sending me back and forth. We were sending like Mean Girls quotes, and like it gave me all the life that I needed for the day. I'm just like, you go, Glenn Coco.
That's awesome. Like, that's how I felt about
on Wednesdays. We wear pink and like all this stupid stuff. But
I need to rewatch it.
30 tweets.
That's so funny. I got tagged in a post where somebody inserted Michael Scott into the new Cardi B video. Did you see it? It was no. So funny.
I'm so mad that I haven't seen it now.
I'm afraid to look at the video.
Well, I don't think I should. Should I?
I haven't seen it.
I would like, I was so holed it up to here and I wanted to share it on my Facebook, but I was like, this isn't really the kind of thing that I share. But it's just so.
You gotta stay on brand so you don't get.
Well, it's not just that. It's like, well, I mean, they're not wearing enough clothes for me to share it, but like, he's so funny. I love that character, Michael Scott, so much. Like, I laugh so hard. I watched it twice and I was like, I wish I could download and save it, but that's not going to happen. I don't know if I could even find it on YouTube.
I tried playing. I was listening to that. Here's that I feel bad. I had put, my daughter requested Cardi B while we were painting. And I'm like, sure, I don't really care.
And then you heard that song came up.
That, you know what's funny, like she said, oh, this is her new one. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I was just zoned out and painting and just listening to the beat. I didn't even listen to it until someone said something later about she has a new song that's upsetting conservatives. I'm like, well, I gotta watch this, let me see what this is. And, I was all excited and I was like, oh yeah, my daughter said there was one, and I saw the name and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Well,
and
I mean, yeah.
Listen, like, and I'm like, oh my God, is anyone around? Because this is audio porn. Like, I don't think I'm going to get in trouble.
Okay. So, two things. One, I couldn't post it because it's like, yes, I thought it was hilarious having Michael Scott in the video, but I know there's people on my Facebook that aren't going to want to just be like bombarded with, you know, they're not expecting to see the video, you know. And then the second thing is, I'm personally not a fan of that much skin in videos, but I also feel like, what's the big deal? Because people, like, there have been so many videos out where there's been a lot of skin shown that I'm like, why is everybody freaking out right now?
Because, you know, because it's women doing it on their terms rather than the male rapper.
I mean, yes to what you're saying. And also, there have been other videos with women doing that before. I mean, maybe not the two of them, but I feel like, wasn't there like a, what's her face? Nicki Minaj have one out?
I don't watch as many videos like, now.
I don't see that many, but normally, like, if somebody's like freaking out over one, I'll pop up in the Facebook feed and I'll be like, what is this about? And I'll be like, oh, that's a whole lot of booty, you know, the videos. And
I
mean, this is the,
I think it's the dirtiest song I've heard from a female rapper.
I mean,
I have not heard it. I only learned about it. I like had to ask my cousins, like, what are we talking about? And I got a description, but I still have not listened to the song.
I think everyone should listen to it.
And let's just say, too, I generally also will, like, I'll hear lyrics to songs all the time and be like, ew, why do I need to hear a song about, like, I will just, so I think that's why I'm like, why is everybody shocked? Like, I find this to be a bit much, just like I find other things to be a bit much. And they're freaking out right now.
I did not know a lot of the songs that I enjoyed in the 80s, 90s, maybe more the 90s, that I had only heard the radio. I had only heard the radio versions until Spotify came out. And I remember specifically being in Canada. And I forget if it was like, it wasn't Back That Thing Up. But it might have been that. Like,
that
I was listening to somebody, and suddenly it was like, what? I was like, what song is this? This is not the song I know. Like, I'm not a prude, but like, I'm like, it's just not what I knew. So I feel like it's almost like someone was doing a parody of it, but it was the real song. I just never knew.
Was it the Fresh Prince of, know. I don't have a better city in mind right now.
It was, so I've been shocked at a lot of songs from the 90s that I apparently only knew the clean versions of. And they're just dirty, dirty songs.
We didn't call it the clean versions back then, though. We called it the radio.
Yeah, radio cuts. The radio cuts. The old cuts.
Man. Yeah.
So, Charisse. Oh, so the movie only. I give it a B. Go see it.
Okay. Well, I'll watch.
Charisse. You are a multi-talented person, it seems. I met you I was a Lyft driver for you.
Yes, I love our origin story.
Yeah, we had a great origin story. She was a Lyft driver. That she's no, a little. I was a Lyft driver. She wasn't talking to me much.
I talked to you more than I talked to most of my Lyft drivers. So yeah. Consider yourself blessed.
Yeah, I am. I get a lot of attitude from black women actually when I'm a Lyft driver. I don't know why. They never want to talk to me.
I think that's a thing.
But she took my, like, I don't know, she remembered my info when she wanted to talk to me about some housing stuff. And she contacted me because she remembered the Black and a Half podcast. And
Black and a Half, yes.
Yes. And so then we got in touch and then we've been Facebook friends. But you're the thing I knew about you. I'm just recently discovered you were a nerd. I didn't know that.
I mean, we dabbled in it in our initial conversation, but I don't think you took my nerdness as seriously as you do now.
No, because you also, well, here's a lesson, because you're actually now the second former beauty contestant winner that I know that's also super nerdy. That I what? Was, yeah.
Who was the first?
Jackie Brown.
I know her.
You know her. Okay. Yeah, like I met her and she was like super nerdy, and then I found out she was the beauty contestant. And
it was Miss Washington?
Yeah.
Or, I think she was Las Vegas? I guess
she was Miss Washington.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember her.
Do you know what was your highest ranking title?
I was Miss Thurston County 2008.
Okay. Which
is a local for Miss Washington. So I never got on the Jackie Brown level, but I did a lot of work. I have been in 5 pageants in my life, ranging from Miss Whatcom County, Miss Thurston County, which I won. I did Miss Seattle. I did Miss Washington. And I also did Miss Henderson / Summerlin.
How do you do Miss Seattle if you're in Thurston County?
At the time, Miss Seattle was actually an open pageant, so it didn't matter if you lived in Seattle. Anybody in the state of Washington could do that.
Ringers.
So, yeah, I lived in Shelton, Washington, which is like 3 to 4 hours away from Seattle. But I competed and I actually ended up placing the top 5.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just wondering, like, what kinds of things were in the competition?
Yeah, I mean, the competition, the phases of the competition is what makes me more interested than actually, like, being able to win or be a queen or a princess. We focus a lot on talent. So my talent is singing, and that was, like, the one way that I was able to get on stage and sing in front of people. We focus on scholarships, so every single contestant in Washington that competes, they get to take home a scholarship, whether it's $100 to $2,500. We want to help the women, like, fund their college. The other thing is, like, interview, which is super important. We focus so much on that because not only in, like, an actual interview with a pageant, those are actually skills that you're going to use every single time that you go into a job interview as an adult. We make sure that we want to teach confidence, whether that means like physical health and fitness, walking on a stage in a swimsuit, or social media management and marketing for yourself. There's so much that goes into being a beauty queen than a lot of people even think. And it's my own personal goal to be able to teach that to the women that I'm mentoring, but also like make it aware to all the people that may think that beauty pageants are like a superficial type of thing, when really like all we're doing is trying to help people, help young women become in themselves and be successful.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I feel like some, I don't know if it's just like pageants back in the day, like if they've changed or if it's also a regional thing. But I feel like sometimes they have a bad rep because of whatever somebody, you know, what your first association is with them.
Yeah. That's definitely something that we've been working on, even rebranding within the Miss America organization. Miss America has removed the swimsuit portion of the competition. They have focused even more on STEM, which is like science, technology, type of mathematics in within their own platform. And with that, like, we're not just looking for whatever the pretty face and the image that you think that a beauty pageant queen is, but we're focused on making sure that we're preparing great women for the world and preparing the world for great women.
Awesome.
So you replace the swimsuit competition with like building a volcano competition?
I mean,
a science.
That's amazing. I would love to see that.
What's the science? What do they do for science?
What about like a self-defense?
We've done self-defense classes.
Miss Congeniality already. Samantha.
It happened in Miss
Congeniality. It can't be done more than once. I love Sandra Bullock.
No, we actually had a self-defense class within my workshops for the last year. So we had self-defense. We had CPR classes. So like we're really trying to teach all the life skills that are necessary to be a solo young woman in the world. So if that means knowing how to put your makeup on before you leave the house, if that means being able to tase somebody that's chasing you, like we do it all.
Do they have like a, Okay, here's how you react to mansplaining. Like that would be great.
Even like we have those, you know, those keychains that fit between your fingers and you just like punch somebody that's trying to. We saw those.
Do you do that for when people mansplain to you?
Oh, nice. Just,
if people mansplain to me, I'll just yell at them.
In the eye, right there.
I don't even need to actually physically hurt them. I'll just like yell at them in Spanish and they stop.
You're like, the fiery Puerto Rican said.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Malcolm Gladwell asked this question. I really liked it. What do your parents do?
Interesting question, actually. My parents don't do what I thought they did now. I always see my parents as what they did when I was a kid.
Okay.
So my dad, he was a grocery store manager for Albertsons for 20 years. And I used to visit him at work all the time. I also followed in his footsteps and became a grocery store manager myself a few years ago. But both of my parents have actually been business owners. So my dad went on to own 2 grocery outlet stores. My mom actually is a computer engineer that she owned her own business where she went to different businesses and set up their networks, fixed their computers, built their computers. And I used to go to work with her every weekend and like plug in all the computers and set up the networks for her. So now.
You like you can do all your computer stuff yourself, or do you ever like.
I do all my computer stuff myself. I still am confused 50% of the time, but I have like this mindset where I know where certain things are supposed to be plugged in and I get it, but it also means I might not have the equipment, so I have to order different types of cords and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Is your mom where you got your nerdy side?
Totally. I mean, how many women do you know can set up their own computer network? Like, that's not even a thing. So I
have a binder full of women that can.
But I don't know them. So yeah. I completely give all of that nerdiness to my mom because, like, first of all, she's a Latina. She works in a men-dominated field. She was the only woman in her college class at University of Washington to be in computer technology. So I've looked after her for all of those reasons. And just the fact that I was able to learn all about computer technology as a child. Like, I was like 5 to 10 years old and I knew how to build a computer. I will never let that go.
That's great. I don't think I even knew what a computer was when I was 5 years old.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was spoiled that I had like Windows 95 and I was playing solitaire on a desktop computer as a child, but it also sounds like super far back and not like a real thing, but it was a real thing for me.
Awesome.
And after you did pageant work, like, what was the next thing for you? Like, what was the, you're like, okay, here's the pat. Like, I mean, I guess if you didn't get to Miss America, you're like, or Miss Washington, you kind of run out of options, right?
That's a great question. Because even after I stopped doing pageants, I was still of age to be able to continue to compete, but my mind and my interest shifted elsewhere. So with that, I actually became a rock star. I moved to Las Vegas and I started my own band, and I was the lead singer for a rock band that played all over Vegas. I wrote my own songs. I recorded.
And when you say rock, are we talking like Journey kind of rock or Bon Jovi?
I mean, I was a total emo kid. So like, if I'm going to say rock and I'm a girl singer, most of the time people would just be like, oh my gosh, is that like Paramore? And I'd be like, yeah.
Sure. But wait, black people are a monolith. How did you do rock? Didn't you have to be a hip hop artist?
I've
done hip hop for sure. I've been invited and I've done the hook for plenty of rap songs, but my own personal style and writing style has always been for rock. So,
okay, now I'm going to feel real dumb here because I hear emo a lot. But I don't think it's my type of music because I can't even think of a band when someone says emo. Like, what would you?
You can't really categorize it. I don't think that you can think of a band, no matter if you know about it or not.
Is it what makes it emo? Is it sad? Is that what it is?
Sad.
The eyeliner.
Like, internalized on your own feelings.
Okay. You internalize it, but you sing it.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
So it sounds better when you sing it than if
you're just... Did you say, I'm going to be a rock star, and you went to Vegas? Was that the goal?
It was not the goal, but the moment that my feet landed in Las Vegas, I'm just like, okay, I guess I'm going to join a rock band. And I just did it like within...
Why did you go to Vegas?
1 week. My mom actually lives there.
Okay. So
after I did my whole pageant journey, I had done all the things I wanted to do in Washington. I was just like, okay, it's time for me to go. So I flew to Las Vegas. I shipped my car. I moved all my stuff. And I'm just like, hey, mom, I'm here. By the way, I'm going to join a rock band.
And what'd she say?
She showed up at all of my shows for 3 years.
That's awesome.
That's so awesome.
Can you say the name of the band?
My band was called A Rising Tide, and it was actually a play on my own name. Because my name is Charisse, so it's S-H-A-R-I-S-E. A Rising Tide.
Okay.
A-R-I-S-N-G. So it was like Show Rising Tide, but I didn't even pick the name myself, so I'll let them choose that and make it a pun off my name.
Are they still going on, or did they when you ended
no,
it?
So after about a year, we ended up getting into like a fight, me and my guitar player, and I regret it, but we're friends now. Okay. I told him, hey, maybe you should take a Midol and chill, because that was like a bad thing to say to a guy. And we were so mad, like we blocked each other for months, but he's actually a very good friend of mine now. Basically, I was just mad that every single person that came to our shows was like his friends from his like frat group. And I'm just like, I want real fans, not your boyfriends from your frat group. And it was a total non-problem, and I made it into a problem back then.
You're like, I don't want fans here. I don't want your fans.
I don't want your fans. Can you make me more of my own fans? And it was the dumbest thing for me to say at the moment, but like, I felt strongly, and I hurt some feelings. And at the end of the day, like, we're fine now, but they actually ended up replacing me with another girl. And they did pretty good. I actually went to their first show when they replaced me, and just like, I was like tearing up a little bit. I'm just like, you replaced me with her, but I guess she's doing a good job. Samantha's.
No, I wasn't going to say anything useful at all. I was just going to say that I didn't realize that Midol helped turn people into marketing geniuses.
I mean, I should have known it way back then. I would have been way more successful.
If he took that Midol like you told him to, he could have gotten real fans.
Midol and chill.
Fans.
And I would have stayed in the band. We would have all been famous by this point. But even after leaving the band and we had another woman take over as the lead singer, I was able to actually fulfill some of my dreams when it comes to music, which I didn't know that it was going to happen, but I actually auditioned for a R&B cover band, which I don't know a lot about R&B. I can learn any song that you tell me to learn, but I auditioned for this band and I got in, where we would actually perform at all the casinos in Las Vegas.
Wow.
So I played at like Arizona Charlie's. I played at the Orleans. I played at different places where I would play for 3+ hours at a time, and I would get paid like $500 a night. So
fun.
I love that. I love that you led with Arizona Charlie's, though. That was like,
Arizona Charlie's hired me the most, but it was not the nicest place to play.
I was like, well, where? Arizona Charlie's. Arizona Charlie's.
When you say they like it was 3 hours or 5 hours, 3 hours you would play, is it like you sang or you played as well, like an instrument too?
I don't play an instrument. So I say I played because
the voice is an instrument, Samantha.
I was lead singer. I was backup.
What? That was to Silas, by the way.
Yeah, I just sang. I used my voice for a lot of things. I did lead singing for like, I had like my own feature songs that I would do, like Chaka Khan or like Whitney Houston or what's her name? Terry Tilia? I don't
know. What'd she sing? As if I know that.
Square Biz.
Square Biz?
Yes.
Square Biz?
Square Biz. Oh God, I have to look it up now because Tina Marie.
Oh.
Yeah, so I have like my own thing where I would do those certain songs and those were my solos. But then I would also like sing background for like September or different slow jam types of R&B songs.
Okay. How fun. So cool.
And then where after your music, did you bring that up to Washington when you came back?
I did, but not in the way that I was hoping. So after I came back from Las Vegas and I came back to Washington, I wanted to do music, but basically everybody only wanted to do like folk music, which I'm fine with. That's still my brand, but it was hard to kind of like meet people that wanted to actually collaborate with me on some of my personal creative projects. So with that, I was dating like a guy that did bluegrass music. And so I used to like show up at all of his shows and be like, hey, invite me on stage and I'll sing Johnny Carter and June Cash or whatever. And we would just, I would be invited to sing different bluegrass songs, which is still not my brand, but just to let you know that I can sing anything. Pop, okay. Rock, classic, country. Invite me, I'll do it. So I started singing a lot of like country music, and that's kind of how like I evolved into working with country music. And I've been to Nashville like twice, and I'm still going to go back there in a couple weeks.
Do you have a CD?
I have a SoundCloud.
You have a SoundCloud. Ooh,
we need to get some of those links.
I didn't
even
know you were a singer before this.
Do you have anything on YouTube?
I wasn't before any of my gaming stuff, but yes, I don't have a YouTube because I'm not like super excited about being on a video yet, but I did get a piano today, so I'm probably going to make videos. Otherwise, I have a SoundCloud that actually has some of my recordings.
Ooh, nice.
I need to get the link to that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear this.
Yep.
It's soundcloud.com/Sharice Nicole.
Oh, simple. Well, that's easy.
Yeah.
And then I did want to talk about, so you're a nerd. What? Are you a game producer too?
I use producer lightly because I'm not actually making games. I'm producing content for games. So what that means is I'm behind the camera for how to play videos, but I also do the editing. I do the music. I contact the clients to get them in. I update the website. I do all these things as a producer on the back end, but also I've made myself available as an in front of the screen producer where I want to make videos as the actor and star of the show.
Right. Okay. You're like a Renaissance woman.
Yeah, I mean, Renaissance woman or jack of all trades, whatever sounds better.
I'm voting. I think I like Renaissance.
That sounds
nice. Fancier.
Yeah. I'm going to come up with like a third option. I'm not crazy about either of them.
No,
actually, that's not true. They're both good options, but I feel like they're both male options.
They're very gendered.
Renaissance is not. Yeah. Renaissance is not.
As long as you don't call it Renaissance woman. So like Renaissance being? Is that?
What?
I don't know. Maybe
why is
just,
Renaissance because the woe?
Is no, it's just I'm saying like usually when I hear the term, I hear Renaissance man, jack of all trades. And so
Jill of all trades is what the other one Jill is. However, the thing is, I've always heard that phrase like jack of all trades. And then someone says, but master of none.
Well, yeah, like, I've normally heard that in like a
negative.
Now I'll be a jack of all trades and a master of all.
Hey,
if I can.
Oh, wait. You can't. You have to say no, can't. What was it when we were doing the real estate episode where they weren't calling it the master bedroom anymore? Yeah. They were calling it.
I remember seeing your post.
It'd have been so much smoother if I actually remember.
It'll call it master.
Right.
It's the primary.
The Jill of all trades and primary of all.
Right. That's not smooth.
Sounds so much worse.
I don't know.
For your homework assignment, Samantha, you're coming up with a new renaissance. We have 7 questions that we like to ask everybody when they come on here to
this is the part that I was actually very excited for.
Oh,
yay!
Somebody actually knows about the questions. Okay. Here we are. 7 questions. Number 1. What are you most nerdy about?
If anybody doesn't already know, I'm actually most nerdy about The Sims.
Oh.
Which I was embarrassed about it before, but I've completely dived into the fact that, like, that's never going to change. I've been playing The Sims since the year 2000 when The Sims first came out. I even still have, like, a long-going grudge with my mom about the fact that she unplugged my PlayStation when I was in the middle of, like, a big build on, like, this new house. But I have Sims 1, Sims 2, all the expansions of Sims 2, Sims 3, all the expansions of that, Sims 4, all the expansions of that, and it has not changed for me, and I don't foresee it changing at all. Even when a new Sims comes out, I'm still not ready for it because I'm still trying to play all the other editions of the Sims that I have. But you can ask me anything and be like, oh, what did you do yesterday? And I could either tell you what happened in my Sims life or I'll tell you what happened in my real life. And I have this like internal game that I play, and it's called In a Game or Real Life. So I can tell you, yesterday I caught on fire while I was giving birth to a newborn baby in my own house. And they'll be like, did that happen in a game or real life? And that's all based off of the fact that, like, I've been playing The Sims for way too long.
That's awesome.
That sounds like an awesome like little game show or addition to your YouTube channel. Like, that's such a fun.
I actually wrote a script about it a couple days ago because my best friend was playing a simulation game and she was like, oh my gosh, he loves me. And I'm like, in the game or real life? And she actually had to like answer my question whether it was in the game or real life. So I actually started writing this game, which I don't want to give it away. Like, don't steal my idea. I think it actually could be a good game. But I could write these cards out and somebody can tell me something that happened and I would either have to guess in the game or real life. If I guess correctly and it's in the game, I'll get bonus points if I guess what game it is.
Oh,
okay. I like it.
But other than that, don't steal my idea. Like,
okay, don't steal.
Right. I was gonna say like, don't say it. And then I realized, well, I guess if somebody did steal it, we'd just rewind to this part of the episode. Yes, we could bring that to court.
Cut it out because it actually could be a really good game.
Yeah.
But I mean, even with me like wanting to have my own show, thank goodness that you invited me to your show. But it's all inspiration for me to maybe be able to do my own show.
Yeah.
I think if I insert some sort of card game, party game at the beginning or at the end, I'd get a lot of engagement and be able to bring people in that may have not felt that they could be a part of whatever this community is.
Okay. All right, number two.
Sounds fun.
What's something that you love to eat?
Cheese.
What kind of cheese?
String cheese.
It's no judgment. I'm embarrassed. It's a no judgment zone.
Oh, okay. I know. I'm just going to ask follow-up questions to your question, Silas. Okay. I can't help myself. The string cheese, though, do you actually slowly string it or do you just bite your way down?
It depends on how hungry I am. I mean, if I want to be like proper, I'll string it down. But after about like 10 minutes, I'm just like, okay, I'm freaking hungry. on the cheese.
What's something that you love to drink?
Chardonnay.
What kind of music do you love?
Boy band pop.
Okay. What do you love to create?
I love to create music, but I don't do it often enough to like claim it.
Okay.
Otherwise, I love to create Puerto Rican food.
Mm,
okay.
I know you made both of us hungry.
Yeah. I think you kind of answered the. What's a game you love to play?
Never have I ever.
Okay. Oh. And then last question. In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
Okay, I actually had to think about this a little bit hard because I listened to your podcast a few days ago and I'm just like, how do I really feel about this question? But I think I want to be remembered for something that people don't actually know too much about me. And in that case, I was the first Black woman to win the local title of my pageant. So I would like to be remembered as the first Black Miss Thurston County.
Okay. I'll remember you for that.
That's awesome.
That's for sure. In 100 years. Charisse Nicole Williams, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much.
This was wonderful. It flew by so fast.
Yeah, so fun. And I'm excited to see your ideas come to fruition and hear your music.
I appreciate all of that, whether it comes with gaming, whether it comes with my music, whether it comes with my pageant stuff. Like, I am just so grateful that I have been able to share it with you two.
All right. Black and a half.
Black and a half. Live long, live long, and prosper, and prosper, and prosper, and prosper, and prosper.